Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Vex X, and this is episode number 3 of the Vex on Vex podcast. And just like episodes 1 and episodes 2, we are joined again this week by my friend, Robot Phillips.
How's it going, everyone?
Actually, it's Robot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Robot.
I say it incorrectly.
That's fine.
I apologize for that, sir.
Ah.
All right, we are live, on tape, digitally, from Robot's unbelievable display case laden basement.
Yep.
Do you care to elaborate a little bit and tell us what this is going on here?
Yes, well, I am a toy collector.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, I'm a toy freak. It's mostly robots. I love robots. Anything with mech, robot, you know, Transformers, that's what I'm into.
Now, literally, as far as the eye can see
yeah.
I see an original AT-AT Walker from 1983 right in front of me on the floor for your son to play with.
Yes, that's my son's.
I can see a TIE Fighter, which you claim is from the early 2000s. I do not believe you. I think it's a late 90s TIE Fighter.
No, it's an early... No, seriously, it's an early 2000s.
I have that one.
It was a Toys R Us exclusive.
Okay.
That came out, and the box was like four
feet
tall.
But the TIE Fighter's tiny as shit. Do we have the right one we're talking about here?
Yeah.
That's Vader's little
thing.
That's
Vader's.
The box wouldn't be gigantic on that. That's little.
No, it's huge, because it comes with both of them. It came with the TIE Fighter. Yeah.
I didn't comprehend that, but what's the other ship it comes with?
It comes with the X-Wing.
That huge X-Wing.
Yes, that huge X-Wing.
So what's the scale to that X-Wing, to the original X-Wing? That I had as a child.
I don't know.
It looks like...
Because I never had an X-Wing. That's the first one I've ever gotten.
Shame on you.
No, my parents tried and tried.
You got three brothers.
If you have kids right now in the room, get them lost. Christmas, my parents tried and tried to get me an X-Wing. They were selling out like hotcakes.
I hated the X-Wing. Hated it. Anything that was like the Galactic Empire... I loved it. Just like if I'm talking G.I. Joe,
yeah.
I adored the Cobra toys. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
You don't have the Terradrome here, do you?
No.
I had that as a child.
You remember yes.
that?
Yes, yes. You told me
I
about
probably
it.
Bragged. I was like, I have the Terradrome.
Yeah. Well, do you know my one friend, Mark, from high school?
Okay.
Yeah. He still has in his basement now, in his house, he moved it from his parents' house. He has the USS flag. It is gorgeous.
You lie.
No, he still has it.
When I was a little kid, I had this friend named Hank. Hank was my first friend I ever made in my life. I think you knew them. Hank, Chris, Nikki. There were three brothers. They lived on Thompson Street.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
They lived down the street from John John.
All right.
John T,
yeah.
as we'll say.
Yes.
Because you went to grade school at Adalbert's, didn't you?
No, I went to Nativity. BVM.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Nativity BVM and North Catholic, both schools, now don't exist. Bye-bye.
Nativity's gone?
Yeah.
I know.
Nativity's being converted to school. The church is still there, but the school is being converted into senior citizen homing.
I went to St. George's for grade school,
yeah.
which was also a Catholic institution. It's still around and still have kids and stuff. And it's a shitty little school, man. It's tiny, but it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
They tortured us. It was pleasant. Now, I'm sorry. I know that we're like not
yeah,
staying
we're getting,
on topic, but
yeah.
you have some fantastic toys here.
Yeah.
Is that from the Star Blazers next
yes,
to
Yes, that is GX 58, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
It is a Soul Chogokin. It's a line that Bandai Japan came out with.
Okay.
Soul Chogokin is like, have you ever heard of Hot Toys?
I've heard of it, but
I don't really. Hot Toys is like the hot topic. You know, I mean, it's literally like the top tier of like toy buying.
Okay.
Now there is more different ones.
So
are they better.
Perfect replicas?
Yeah, perfect replicas. The paints, the apps, everything, and they have so many different little gimmicks. It's insane.
Now, do they gain licensing from the original manufacturers?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
just the manufacturers. They get licensing from the animes itself, like the creators,
the designers.
Yeah. That Mazinger Z, that was actually who created Transor Z when we were kids.
Okay.
Well, the original was called Mazinger Z. Mazinger Z was actually from Go Nagai.
All right, you've lost me.
Back
to Star Blazers, goddammit.
Yeah, okay, Jesus.
All right, Star Blazers and I had a weird sorted history. It was on Channel 17, if
yes,
you remember.
And I loved it.
But the thing of it is, I don't remember being in regular rotation, and it was always like this weird, bizarre anime soap opera.
Yeah.
Now, do you own the DVDs of those original programs?
No, I do not, because they were expensive as shit.
Yeah, right? I don't have them. They're not really on YouTube either, actually.
No, I did find it on
YouTube.
Did you? Yeah, I found a playlist. But if you go to Funimation.com and you look up... 2099. It's basically the same story as the original, but with updated artwork.
So what is the plot line to start with?
Okay, so anyway, the plot line is there is... Now, I can't remember. Wow.
I remember the gist of it is that they raised World War II battleships.
No, no. They did, but it was the only one. What happened was...
The Andromeda. Remember that one? Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, no, it's fine. So, basically, this other planet wanted war. They wanted our planet. They were, like, coming to take our planet.
I get it.
So, we said no, and we fought back. So, they started sending these meteors that were... like the size of maybe a football field.
Which is huge.
And they were causing radiation.
Okay.
And so the humans were forced to go down under. Well, the only boat... Now, remember, radiation was taking up all the air, everything. The planet was dead outside.
Sure.
So now you had, like, they found the Yamada in the ocean bed. And that was the only one that can handle this drive because there's an Eskandarian... princess that actually wants to help us, but we have to fly to her to get this chemical or whatnot.
But isn't it a World War II battleship?
Yeah, it's a World War II battleship. That's the one that can handle it. That's the only one.
So they raise it.
They don't just raise it. They build around it, underneath it. So then they create this whole new ship that actually can handle this wave motion engine. And that's so that's what it is. And we have 365 days to get to there. To get this chemical or this thing that's going to clear off the radiation before they destroy us completely. Because the radiation's starting to seep in, and the farther we are, get closer, we're going to be at the core. We're going to burn to death. So that's the whole reason to
so
it.
So they're burrowing into the planet to survive. Yeah. I recall more than one battleship flying around.
Oh, yeah.
There were,
No. That you're probably thinking of, what the heck was it called? USS Galaxy or something.
I don't know. It felt that pretty was, Star Blazer-ish.
Well, it was done by the same guys.
Oh, well, that'll do it.
Haddock or something it was called.
And they were like these weird, bizarre captains. One was called the Andromeda. I just remember being impressed by the word Andromeda, and I'm like, I'm going to use that somewhere in my life. I never did, by the way. Maybe I'll call my book Andromeda. But
there you go.
It's a great name.
The Flight of the Andromeda.
Andromeda. Yeah. The flight, I like that.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Okay, well,
so the fact you have a Star Blazer is amazing to me.
Yeah.
It's right next to like not a life size, but a gigantic IG-88, which is a bounty hunter from Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back.
You're an IG-88 guy. It's like
I love IG-88.
Why is that?
There's a story from the bounty hunter's books.
Go ahead.
And it tells you about IG-88. Do you know that there's four of them? There's A, B, C, D, and... That's A that was in the movie.
Okay.
Okay? They all work together in unison.
Okay.
B, C, and D were killed off. And finally, A gets killed off by Boba Fett.
Interesting.
Yeah. But they don't really portray it. Like, if you saw how, even though he's, like, skinny as all hell and he looks like a tea producer or something. Yeah. Like a big, huge teapot or something. But
I'll give you that.
Basically, he's like super limber. Like, he's like, boom, 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 real fast and everything.
He's a droid,
calculating.
Figure, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I remember a good friend of mine is obsessed with Bosk. Like, Bosk is his guy. And he had, you'll help me with the toy line because I don't know what it's called.
Okay.
But there were like the bigger, like Star Wars figures that are like this big. They're all metal. Okay. They're recent.
They're not all metal.
Not all metal. But
no. The sideshow he's probably talking about.
Well, not talking about. So he would have Bosk and Vader face off, and he would have Bosk always beat Vader and then send me pictures, and there'd be like blood all over the floor. I'm like, come on. I'm not going to kill Vader. Bosk. Get the fuck out of here. And then his dogs ate Bosk.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
That was the end of Bosk.
That was probably a sideshow.
And then I gave him my original Bosk from, I guess, 83. And he, I don't know if he appreciated it. He might have appreciated it. But I was like, oh, here, man, here's my boss, because I'm not a boss guy.
Yeah, no.
But I remember I had a mail away for boss as a kid. He wasn't sold in the
store. Oh, no. Yeah, you had to mail away from him.
My mom and dad did that shit. They were cool.
My parents never did that.
I was an only child. So I was a little spoiled.
Yeah, no.
It's good stuff.
That's what happens.
So we're here, and you have a phenomenal collection of action figures and robots and toys and things
and video
like that.
Games.
Video
and,
games.
Yeah.
Like, you have several Slave One ships, like different versions of it throughout your basement here.
Well, then you got the original one. You have the original
one.
And
that's the one I have in my house.
Yeah. And then there's the one that was like kind of like the black. It was the latest version of it.
It's so much bigger.
It's huge.
Fantastic looking. Like, I feel like we're discussing penis size. It's not penis size. It's fucking size of slave one, one. GD. GD. God damn
GD.
That's how we say god damn it in front of my stepkid. Can't say god damn it. Say GD.
GD.
But I feel like it's still
sounds
a
like GG.
GG Allen.
Good game.
Can you believe that my friend fucking compared me to GG Allen in an earlier podcast? You fucking believe that shit?
Well,
thanks,
you,
robot.
Oh, well, what do you want? You know, that's what I saw.
Oh my god, I had fantastic hair. Yes, it was well manicured before it fell out. I did not look like fucking.
Yeah,
G.
but
Allen.
Wait a second. You were GG Allen in the sense of destruction and chaos, but you didn't.
The guy
shit.
Used to
you
shit didn't, on stage.
You didn't throw it in people. Or
I was
anything?
In a punk band called The Broken, so we broke toys on stage. Dude, I don't even know if you know this. We played a show with Steve Cambion. His band was called ACID, and we were called The Broken.
Acid, Another called Crying Darkness.
Another Crying. Called The Mosh for AIDS. Do you remember that show?
Yes, I remember you guys destroyed the place.
I destroyed a 1983 original Adat Walker on stage.
Sacrilege.
The one that my mom bought me.
Sacrilege.
When I was like 6 years old.
All Star Wars fans now attack him.
I know, right? And there's like a videotape, and I'm like, fuck it. And I remember the crowd yelling, that's worth so much money. I was like, yeah, I'm so pimp. I'm going to get a record deal. I didn't get a record
no.
deal.
No.
It didn't work out.
We tried.
Fuck it. I still try.
Yeah, no. That's
but perfect. I'm looking around. There's just a phenomenal collection. So I'm a Transformers freak. I'm in a band called Starscream. So
yeah.
You have fantastic like replica Transformers. Can you explain these to me?
Okay, you have. Now, there's a lot of different ones you got. You have all different lines that Hasbro puts out.
And it's
you,
legal.
Yeah, it's legal. Well, no, they're the ones that Hasbro puts out.
Okay.
Yeah, Hasbro puts out all the Transformers. But originally it was like, you know, from the beginning it was from different lines that Japan had. You know, Diaclone was owned by Takara and stuff like that.
So who made the original manufacturing of toys back in the 80s?
Well, this is the thing. In the 80s, it was Hasbro.
Understood.
Okay, so Hasbro got the contract and the license for it, blah, 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 blah. And now you have third party, or what we call, the fans call 3P. Third party toys.
Now the 3Ps, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
You can't put the actual Transformer logo on them.
Literally. No, so but you can order.
Obviously,
yeah, you can order the sticker set.
They can't sell them with it now. How come they're allowed to manufacture? Like you have a Constructicons Devastator,
yeah, which is behind me,
which is well behind me,
yeah, behind you
is breathtaking.
Yeah,
it looks amazing. And
yeah,
it, like moves
from,
like a robot. Yeah. It's third party. You said 3P.
Yeah, that's
how's that legal?
There's loopholes in China.
Okay.
Yeah, so
but
they
you know
can
we're
get
not we're not in China. I don't know if
no,
you know
I understand that, but they can't if they sell it in China, it's the manufacturing. See, this is what it is. You're a manufacturing company, okay? You're the supervisor. I walk in. I go, "Hey, but this is what's going on now with the clones. 3P, they're making their own figures. That's where they can't. Takara really can't touch them. Hasbro can't touch them."
Sure.
Because what they're doing is they're reimagining them. So they're not like they're not making clones and they're not making knockoffs. They're making their own and it they're doing little twists to it. So really, it's
so if you go to copyright court, it's going to be a motherfucker to like prove.
Yeah,
it. But I'll tell you the truth of it. So this is a great story to put on a fucking podcast. So I'm in a band called Starscream. We're trademarked. The spelling is with a K, but we own our trademark. A few years ago, maybe I'm gonna 5 years ago. 7 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
A band in New York City was calling themselves Starscream.
I remember that.
But they started touring in Philly. I literally got a phone call. Hey, are you playing here tonight? No. Well, there's a band named Starscream playing here, and I figured it was you. And I'm like, no. So do you know what 8-bit music is?
Yeah.
It's an entire genre.
I know. Yeah. It's music that they do with 8-bit.
Literally. Like the fucking gaming systems. And they use like drum loops and shit. It's really weird. And I'm not going to lie. I don't dig it. I'm a fucking musician. Like, that to me isn't it.
Yeah.
They were an 8-bit band or are an 8-bit band. So I wrote them this nice, I felt diplomatic letter. And I was like, listen, you know, this is our name. We own it. If you could please change your name, we would greatly appreciate it. You guys sound great. It's just that we're different and we own our name. They took my letter and they put it on Twitter. And they, like, made fun of us with all their little fans and shit. And, like, it kind of upset me. And then I let a few months go by. Like, I wasn't livid. And they came back to Philly again. And now I'm mad. So I call my fucking lawyer. And I'm like, hi, I'm Vex. We're trademarked. He's like, yeah. I'm like, fucking sue them. Close these motherfuckers down. Now, the reality of the situation is it would have cost me like $7,000 or $8,000 to file a suit in New York. Now, when I win it, which I will, they're going to have to pay my legal bills.
Yeah.
But I got to put the $8,000 up before it happens. And I was like, I thought about it and I was like, no, fuck it. I got $8,000. Let's fucking go. We're going to go. And we fucking cease and desist letters and the whole thing. And right at the last minute, like, I think we had given them like 60 days to respond or we're going to go to litigation.
Yeah.
And like day 58, they were like, okay, we'll change our name through their attorney. And they just fucking were just go ahead.
Yeah. They were trying to call your bluff.
They were dicks, man. They were really dicks about it. And they were like petty and condescending and not even good fucking musicians. So they changed their name to something else, which I think I'm going to use that name as a title of a record eventually just to fucking spite them because fuck them. You can legally do that.
Yeah.
But the whole thing of it is they reported my band to Hasbro because they were bitter.
Oh, fucking lovely.
But I'm legal. Yeah. You understand? So but we did something a little naughty. We took the jaw of the Autobot symbol and the top of the head of the Decepticon symbol.
Yeah, you got it tattooed on
No, I don't, sir. No? That would be illegal. No.
Oh, sorry. No.
And we made t-shirts with this unique brand.
Yeah, I remember the shirt.
Well, then the fucking, their attorney's like, hello, stop fucking selling these t-shirts, please. They didn't say fucking, but they were like, stop selling these t-shirts, which was shocking to me.
My God.
But I looked into it and I learned about a little bit of the copyright law. Even if it's similar to the trademark, you are breaking the law in the United States.
Oh, shit.
Or I'm trademarked. So I find it interesting that in, you said China?
Yeah.
You can get around it because this thing behind me looks like the fucking Devastator. No. It looks like it.
It does. It does.
Same color?
Same color, everything, you know?
That's a bit naughty, sir.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Their laws are so much more different than America. So they can't just go and China is be like, well, we can't do nothing. We tell them to stop. Stop. And that's all they'll do.
It's a communist nation. Yeah. You try to file a fucking suit in a communist nation.
It's difficult, so you can't.
Yeah, I would say that. So anyway, we got fucked over by those guys. But
that sucks.
We still exist. I think they exist. They were like little jerk-offs. Like, they were a little band in their like college dorm, and they were just very, very dismissive and condescending. It hurt my feelings tremendously. I stayed up nights worrying about you. Yeah, obviously not, but I was ready to go to court. Fuck you. I own Starfleet. But it set legal precedents. I love legal precedents. So these guys had a crumble. Their attorney was like, well, you're wrong. If you go to court, this guy's pissed. You're going to lose. And then you're going to owe him a lot of money because they sold merchandise with my name on it. They sold t-shirts with my fucking name on it. So they would have owed us some money.
Yeah.
But they fucking folded. They made a suggestion. They were like, can we just call ourselves Starscream NYC? And we were like, no, that's our name.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Like, you were dicks.
But we sell it. We spell it with a C, not a K. And we're like, no, you got 10 more days or we're going to court. I said 2 more days left. They fucking folded.
Yeah.
So that's a little story time.
Yay.
How are you today?
I am doing great.
Good.
Wonderful.
I'm upset.
I know.
So Robot and myself went out to to dinner, and somebody hit my fucking Cadillac. They fucking hit it in the parking lot, and the door is dimpled and dented, and I have to get it painted and fucking pulled. But I'm all right. I'm shaking it off. We're gonna be okay.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
So it's early in 2018 as we're recording this.
Yes.
Any new record you bought recently that you might like?
Corpse Hoarder. Their new album finally dropped. I was like, yes.
Now is it on a label?
No, they did. They just dropped it on. I forget the website, but I got it on. I downloaded it.
But you got it.
Yeah, I have it. It's
so
on my phone.
So how many of those guys did you work with previously? Just one or two?
Just one of them. But I've really become pretty good. I'm just on the internet. I've been pretty friendly with their bass player.
Communicating.
Yeah. And he's pretty awesome.
So how's the record?
The album is it's perfect.
It's perfect?
It's gotten really good reviews.
Good.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I just like it. I like the style that Dave wanted, you know, in his band, in his eyes.
How would you describe the style of music for Corpse Hoarder?
Straight on full Philly death metal.
I like how Philly has to be in
there. Oh, yes, definitely. Philly has to be in there because it is Philly death metal. Like, true and true, it's like, you know, they don't let down. The whole album is just, you know,
Jun, jun, jun.
No, not jun, 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 jun.
No,
jun.
I got it wrong. Past the depression, sir.
Yes, which is sitting right next to you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Look up where Batman is. The cassette.
It is. All right. None of you can see this. This is a fucking podcast, so you have no idea what I'm looking at. However, what I am beholding is the original pressing of the High Caliber. It's not self-titled. What's the title of the record?
Life in an Asphalt Grave.
Where is that photo from?
That is on the street because Steve the drummer he worked for the city.
I didn't know he was a road guy.
Yeah,
I didn't know
he worked for the city.
Okay.
And they dug that hole and he jumped in and boom.
So that's him.
Yeah. That's him.
Is there any artwork or photographs inside?
There's a photograph of me in there. Hold on. You want me to get it?
Yes. In fact, I do want you to get it. So now he's handing me the cassette tape. Now, all right. This is the original drummer's name, Steve.
Yes.
In this photograph.
Yes.
So explain this to me. Like, he was at work dressed like... He looks like he's, like, pretty out to rock and roll that day. Like,
no,
like he's working.
He was working. He worked for the city. I don't know if he still does it, but he was working for the city, and... They were digging a hole, and basically he jumped in the hole and had one of his coworkers jump up on the truck. They took the picture, and voila, life in an asphalt grave.
And back in the day, like, this isn't a digital camera. This is a fucking throwaway Kodak motherfucker camera, right?
Yeah,
let me look at the picture.
Yeah.
Man! How young were you?
20 years old.
I don't remember the bass player looking this cool. Did he have glasses in real life?
Yeah, he wears glasses, but he didn't. I mean, when we were on stage, he always took them off. You know, you got to get that rock star lifestyle.
I also wear glasses.
Yeah,
and took
I know.
Mine off on stage.
Exactly.
As well. Dude, yeah, that's a great jacket.
I did that jacket.
You fucking painted that up?
No, it's not painted. I went to a flea market up in the Northeast. I forget exactly where. It was far Northeast, up around like Oxford Valley.
Okay.
There was a big flea market. They had these oversized bandanas. One of them was a bunch of skulls, and the other one was a Grim Reaper. So I basically made sleeves because, you know, Bachelor Survival, you remember North. Yeah.
Oh, my God, stop.
I know.
Stop with the story. Fuck. All right. Fuck. Hold on. Hold on. You have just melted my brain. Dear people listening to this podcast, you have no fucking idea what we're discussing. Myself, VexX, right, and Robot Phillips.
Yes.
Attended a Catholic high school in the late 80s and early 90s called Northeast Catholic High School that no longer exists, right?
Yep.
Senior year, if you were fortunate enough to get a spot, there was a course called Bachelor Survival. They literally taught you how to sew a button on your shirt. They taught us how to cook pasta. I remember there were like balance a checkbook.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
All these things you needed to know when you fucking left school that, like, no one's going to get it. Now,
the important shit you're supposed to know.
Leo Donahue was the fucking teacher. He was amazing. That guy's long since dead, huh?
I know, yeah.
My God, so you went to Bachelor Survival.
Yeah.
And you learned how to sew.
Yes.
And then 2 short years later, you're in the heavy metal band High Caliber. And you sewed bandanas.
I made sleeves out of them.
So wait. Where did you get the awesome, and I'm not even being sarcastic, it is an awesome leather motorcycle jacket. You didn't have that before. Where did you get that jacket from?
Where did I get the jacket?
Yeah.
Ex-cunt bought it for me for my Christmas gift.
Ex-cunt. Oh, my God. See, I hope to God you people listen to episode 1.
You got to listen to episode 1.
Because episode 1 just fucking, oh, my God, this is so good.
Ah!
And we don't even have a Facebook page yet. We will eventually, I'm sure. Vex on Vex podcast. But my goodness, Robot, I got to say, I'm impressed by this photo. I remember acquiring this cassette tape because you were the enemy. We didn't like your band. And you had beat us to product. You had a product out before The Broken did.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is fucking nightmare. I got a picture, man. So listen, I fold it open. We're going to get back to this Bachelor Survival shit.
Yes, yes.
High Caliber is the name of the band.
Yeah.
The first song is Life. Or no, the title is Life in an Asphalt Grave, right?
Yeah.
So you only have 3 tracks on this record.
Yeah.
Past the Depression. I fucking love that. Deep Threat.
Yeah.
And Raw Deal.
Deep.
Now, go ahead.
Deep Threat was one of my favorites because it was like speed death metal. Like, it was the one, and the way that we recorded the vocals were just, it was insane, but it worked so fucking well.
All right, listen, I'm reading the inside. High Caliber is Robot Phillips vocals. They put you first.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know I always put myself last in all of our shit?
I know. I don't know why they put me in first.
No, you're supposed to. You're the front man, but I do it on purpose.
Okay.
I'm not arrogant. I am arrogant as fuck, but I act like I'm not. So then secondly, Corey, guitars. I didn't say his last name.
Yeah.
Heat, bass, and then Steven, same last name, drums. He put himself. So see, okay, the asshole who's running everything behind the fucking show doesn't want the world to know he's running it, and he puts his name last because I put my name last, so I get that. For booking information, contact High Caliber at 215-blank-blank-blank-0819. What fucking address is this? Whose address
is that? That was Corey's.
That? Oh, that's this. Oh God. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to read the.
Hold on. Let me see it real quick. Just a double. Relax, everybody. We're not going to be giving this stuff out. Yep. Yeah. That's Corey's house.
This is so. That was Corey. Fucking amazing.
Let me explain something. Corey doesn't even live there anymore.
How do you know?
Because I was that.
No, but his parents probably.
No, his parents moved to Jersey. Parents moved to Jersey.
Okay.
He moved to Florida. He got married and he has a daughter and he moved to Florida.
Please tell me he married ex-cunt.
No.
Please tell me that Corey married ex-cunt.
I wish.
This is the greatest. So I'm looking.
I heard ex-cunt has a kid.
Of course she does. Yeah. She's a cunt.
Yeah, I know. And the dude that she was dating was a bass player with long blonde hair and he left her for a band. And he's in California now.
All right. Now.
That's what I heard.
That sentence gets weird. No. So he left her so a band could fuck her, or he her to be in a band in
California. Yeah,
I've been to Cali. I'm not impressed. Yeah. Been to Cali a lot, actually, dude. Nobody lied to me more in my life than people in California, and you can tell they're lying. Like, your band is so great. You're like the best band I've ever seen, and you never see them again.
Again, exactly.
Like, you know, we're here all month. Like, we're playing the whole fucking state. You can hang out with us. You know.
Yeah, hang out, have a couple drinks with us, something. You know.
We picked up fucking legitimate models one night. Legitimate fucking models, bitches 6 feet tall. I'm sorry, ladies 6 feet tall. And I was engaged, so I couldn't even try to fuck them. And then our drummer, they were on me and my drummer, and they followed us back. And then I handed them off to our rhythm guitar player, who could not close the fucking deal. But models, we picked up fucking models from a modeling agency at some bar. They came back to our shitty fucking hotels, and then me and the drummer left. And then the guy couldn't close the fucking deal. Multiple models.
That's fucked up.
True story. But I'm looking at High Caliber. We're going back to that.
Yes, let's
go. The release of this is late 94, right?
Yeah.
Or was it early 95?
It was late 94.
High Caliber. Man.
My dad and my mom still say I was ripped off because I was the one that put most of the money up. I sold like comic books and everything to get.
So you paid for all this?
I paid for most of it and I didn't get nothing out of it. But you know what? I'd let bygones be bygones, you know?
The cassette's not in here.
The cassette's in my stereo. Because I was letting my...
I saw you got drunk, and you're putting videos of yourself
Yes, I did do that. You know, I was just reliving those days.
So all rights are reserved. You know what we're going to do?
What?
We're going to queue up that fucking Pass the Depression shit, and we're going to do an on-fucking-microphone live critique of this classic track. We're going to put you on hold for a moment.
Oh, my God.
Please bear with us. We're going to give a small break. We'll be right back.
This is going to be awesome.
Okay, we're coming back in. This is VexX along with Robot Phillips.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. He has taken the microphone with him. He is next to this fucking classic stereo system. I want you to explain to the listening audience what you're doing.
Okay, I'm rewinding the tape now.
What are you rewinding what, sir?
I'm rewinding the High Caliber tape.
The cassette tape,
The cassette
sir?
Tape,
this
yes.
This is fucking amazing.
This is sound wave kind of shit.
Like, I know you guys don't give a flying fuck about any of this. I respect that. But when I was a kid, I'm writing a book. And when I was a kid, my friend was the lead singer of this fucking band. And we played a battle of the bands at the Textile University College. Yep. And the guys came out and they fucking Ryan rocked, actually. We didn't like them and they didn't like us. But they were good. And we're going to do a little fucking, like, listening thing. He's rewinding the cassette tape.
It's done. I'm just waiting for you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the 2018 broadcast debut of Past the Depression by High Caliber. You have to hold up. It'll work. It's a loud-ass fucking mic. Is it breaking?
I just think it might.
This is amazing. Amazing. Who has a fucking tape player in 2018? My man does, Robot Phillips. This is so fucking cool. And we're waiting.
Now we're just waiting.
He pushed play. Here it is. Can you hear that?
That's metal.
Oh, it's so good. Is it out of tune? I hope it's in tune. You're good. You can put it back down. That's good. Here it comes. See, I jumped the gun. There were no vocals yet, but it's cool. It's coming. Here we go. Get ready to pause it, too.
Pause it?
Get ready to. When I tell you to pause it, pause it. But we're just listening. We're listening. But I want you to pause it, and we're going to talk about it, and we'll play it again.
Okay.
You guys are hearing that? That's Philly metal, motherfuckers. Oh, yeah. Bass breakdown, baby. Amazing. All right, pause it.
Now it doesn't want to pause.
What is going through your mind as we listen back to the debut track of your first ever record?
Oh, my God. Amazing. Let me get the headset on and stuff.
Sure, like recalibrate yourself.
Oh, my God, recalibrate.
From high caliber. Past the depression. This is so fucked up. This is so fucked up.
You know, the more I hear it, the more I go, wow, that we did that.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, we did
pretty
that.
Pretty fucking good.
We fucking did
for
that.
For a bunch of kids. 15-year-old guitar player, no
yeah,
less.
Yeah, fucking did it.
Fucking trying to bang my ex-girlfriend behind my back. Fuck that guy. No, she was my ex. It's cool. No, man, like, that's cool. That's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know who Johnny Mack is? We were talking about him off mic a little while ago. So Johnny Mack started his career originally as the drummer in a band called Euthanasia. Follow the line. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Euthanasia was a Philly metal band. They stole the lead guitar player of a band called Apathy.
Okay.
That was my fucking band.
Yeah.
So Chris Frakes, my friend whom I love to this day, leaves our shitty high school band and joins somebody else's shitty high school band, which is fucking Euthanasia. Mm-hmm. Johnny Mack, the drummer in Euthanasia.
Oh, shit.
Small fucking world, yeah. Right? So, I don't know, what feels like 100 years go by, but in reality, it's probably like 14 months. Like, it's not even that long. I'm in The Broken with King Sam. Steve Cambion and I had a falling out over a fucking girl. Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And we reconnect. And he has a new band, and they're called ACID, Another Cry in Darkness. Again, this is all a bunch of shit that none of you give a fuck about. But you're listening to the Vex on Vex podcast, so fuck you. This is what you're going to listen to. This is it. So ACID features this drummer who's really good named Johnny fucking Mack. And I'm like, Johnny Mack. And I figure out he's the fucking guy that stole my guitar player from my high school band. And he laughed, and I laughed, and we became like fucking really good friends.
Yeah.
He was the fucking best man of my last wedding.
Holy shit.
My third wedding. Yeah, just, I get married too much, man. I gotta stop that shit.
Yeah.
This is it. I'm done. I'm gonna marry this girl. I'm gonna die. I'm over. But Johnny Mack was the best man. I've known Johnny fucking Mack since, God, 93?
Yeah.
It's fucking 2018? What does that fucking tell you?
Yeah.
The point is,
mm-hmm.
that was Philly metal.
Yeah.
And Johnny Mack was banging around the scene when you were in fucking High Caliber, dude.
Yeah.
And you made that record.
Yes.
Who recorded it? Where'd you guys cut that tape?
What the hell was the place? Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero. Was
Sub-Zero
it like?
Recordings
Where
or
was
something.
It
was like in Roxborough.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
I used to
you can actually go on YouTube. There's a live version of Deep Threat. Yeah. Just look up Deep Threat, High
you
Caliber.
You guys are playing on fucking YouTube.
And it was an old video from 1994.
Who fucking uploaded it?
Steve did, because right, Steve has everything.
We are putting you back on fucking hold. Hold on, listening audience. I'm going to make him pull up this fucking video.
I knew it. Here we go.
I'm so excited. All right, we'll be right back. Hold on. Oh, my God, we're back. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Welcome,
I knew it.
Welcome back to the Vex on Vex podcast. This is episode number 3. Okay, we want, if you want to follow along, go to fucking YouTube, or just YouTube.com. You got to punch in High Caliber, H-I-G-H, second word caliber, C-A-L-I-B-E-R, Deep, D-E-E-P, Threat, T-H-R-E-A-T. So we're pressing play. Rob Phillips, look at that shit.
Yeah.
The photographs, the stills are just fucking amazing. You looked just
hit
like
F
this.
On the keyboard. You'll bring it up as a big screen.
Okay, hit F.
Hit F. Just tap F.
Okay. Oh
yeah.
You can see it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, look at you.
Yeah.
You're like 12 fucking years old. Remember that shirt? You loved that.
I love that
shirt.
Fucking shirt. I got a tattoo of it.
Cricket Club, March 3rd.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so good.
Yeah. This is. And you can see
yes.
what. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Meta. I hope to God you're following. Oh my God, it's so good. This is. Look at the drummer. He's like, I'm Meta. We're going to work on our stage moves. When we start the song, I'm going to bang on my cymbals while I'm standing.
It will look amazing.
Oh my
god. And
then
I'll sit down when the song starts.
Alright,
at this part, you have to wave your mighty mane of hair. Wave the hair.
So good.
Yeah.
This is fucking awesome. I'm not even being sarcastic. If you guys listen
this
to
this. This is the shit we did.
Does he have two Marshall heads?
Yes.
How fucking metal were you?
I think there were they're two Marshall heads. Unless that was the other band that was next to us, or next after us.
I hope so. God damn, he's stacking two Marshall heads. You are the Ramones, you motherfuckers.
We weren't wearing our leathers though on stage.
Where'd you go?
I'm down on the left.
Trying to fuck chicks is what you're doing. Yeah. You're like, hey, I'm the singer. What a fuck?
I'm a singer.
I like pussy.
Get your cock. I mean,
give me your cocks. I'm so heterosexual that if I suck your cock, you're gay. You fucking.
Oh, homo. Fuck. Give me your pussies.
I'm not going to lie to you, man.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, he has the stability on it and everything, the filter. So, I mean, it's
not
actually.
That. The band. Yeah. High Caliber was fucking good.
Yeah. It's a shame what happened. There I am. I'm like down, crotch down like I always did. That was my like stupid move.
No, it's fucking Rockstar.
Yeah.
Crotch down and make yourself look
evil.
Oh,
you're watching solo?
Yeah.
This is fucking awesome. That's a shitty solo. Sorry, Corey.
He's probably fucking amazing now.
I feel like he had a timing shift there that's not so good, but... Oh, the bass player's like, come on! Dude, he put his hands up, come on!
Yeah.
No one cares. I played
No, these were the ones that followed us on the bus trips.
Cool.
They just loved the song. Like, you'll see, here's where they start getting a little rowdy. I just think that they were more mesmerized because most of these kids...
you were so amazing. That's what it is. Dude, look at your hair. Oh, my God. Look at your fucking hair. I know you guys can't see this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why Vex, he loved my hair. And
it's
he
down
tried...
to his waist. It's fucking rock star. This is so rock. I mean, I know this is a podcast and you can't see this. But it's fucking awesome. Maybe you can hear it. I don't know.
As the priest gives final rites, do you want to die?
All right, that's just weird.
I'm sorry.
I feel like the devil's hanging out with me. Hey, devil.
Sorry.
Leave, motherfucker.
No. You're stuck with me.
Let me watch this.
Okay, fine.
Dude, look at you. You're fucking awesome. That mic technique, I'm not even being sarcastic. That's fucking awesome. He holds the mic up from his face. Like, not in front of it, but up.
It's kind of like a Lemmy thing.
Growling into that shit. Yeah, why don't you use a mic stand? I always use a mic stand. I still use a mic stand.
I just got tired of using a mic stand.
Motherfuckers were airtight, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. We didn't miss a beat.
Dude, we gotta do a goddamn reunion. We
oh,
gotta
Jesus
get a
Christ.
High Caliber just one
that
show.
That ain't gonna happen.
Why?
That isn't gonna happen. Everybody's doing their own thing.
Are you kidding me?
I'll have to buy a wig. I'll have to buy a wig. I will not do it bald.
Oh, fuck you. Bald's awesome. This is breathtaking.
Yeah, that was it.
That was so good. I know
this
that...
stream has now turned into the High Caliber old stream.
Yeah. So you're friends with these guys on Facebook,
well,
right?
Yeah, I talk. I mean, I don't really talk to them. It's like they're my friends. You know, it's like, oh, they're acquaintances. And
on the very...
they'll get a thumbs up for me or something, you know.
All right. On the very off chance that you guys hear this podcast, because I believe that my friend Robot's going to fucking post it, I got to tell you, you were fucking tight.
Yeah, we were tight as fucking balls.
Let me talk, motherfucker. This is the Vex on Vex podcast. All right, I'm just kidding. I'm just so kidding. But, but guys, High Caliber was fucking tight. I just watched a live video. It was fucking awesome. I got to rock out to your first fucking EP. It was fucking Rockstar. Where's the cassette? I want to look at the cassette tape. I want to touch it with my fucking hands and remember what it's like to be in the 90s and the 80s for that fact, where you're like, oh, this is what music was. Let me see this motherfucker. Dude. It's just so rock star. Past the Depression, Deep Threat and Raw Deal are on side two.
Yeah.
And then you flip it and it's Past the Depression. No, it's just two fucking. Where's the fucking.
It's
oh, all it's
three.
All three,
yeah.
On both sides.
Yes, that's what we did.
That's rock star. So you get two copies of your shit.
Yeah, because we just took our.
Now, who's HC1194? That's not a label, is it? on the cassette?
No, that's just, you know, high caliber 1994. That's what they probably used to code it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. 1194.
So okay. 1194. So maybe...
We played with you in 1194. That's when the show was. So yeah. You guys had this fucking merch done. HC.
Yeah, because... We were selling our tapes at the show. Yeah.
And we had no merch. And I remember Steve, and this is in the book. Steve was like, listen, man. You got to get in the studio. You got to make a fucking demo. And you got to fucking get some t-shirts out. And we didn't have fucking dick to sell, right?
Yeah.
So, Steve, do you remember that guy, Brandon, the photographer? Do you remember him?
I think so.
I'm still friends with that dude today.
Okay.
Like, he fucking wrote me on Facebook a few days ago, actually. We still talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a photography student in the early 90s, and he would come to every broken show, like the first 10 or something, because Steve was our manager and would get him to go.
Yeah.
And he printed up these fucking cool-ass like photos and sold them. Mm-hmm. So he made money off merch we didn't have at the show, because girls bought anything.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
1994, girls fucking bought whatever.
Girls would buy every goddamn thing.
Oh, my God. What a good time.
Those were the days.
We literally started the podcast discussing your massive toy collection.
And then went right back to high caliber.
It's so good. So we got to do a Mosh Farid's fucking 3.
Oh, Jesus.
I got to get fucking The Name That Will Not Be Spoken back with Steve Cambion and get Johnny Mack on the fucking drums so ACID can ride again.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I already play with King Sam. We'll play fucking broken songs. It'll be fucking hysterical. Now, for Starscream, the road manager was the drummer from The Broken. His name's Bill.
Wow.
He played the Mosh Phrase. He wasn't the guy who when we played that fucking college with you.
Okay, He was Philadelphia Textiles.
Yeah, he was
what used to be that.
Yeah, he was a year later. But he's our road manager. Like, when we go out, he's our guy. He's road coordination. He moves the gear. He's a fucking...
Sweet.
He's a bad motherfucker. A great drummer.
Yeah.
A great drummer. So maybe we get him on the kit or something. We even do a broken song in our set now. You wouldn't know it because you don't come to our fucking shows there, Robot.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding, man.
Do some in Delaware.
We did, actually, when you didn't fucking come to any of them.
Closer to me.
Hey, come on. Wilmington? I did fucking 1984 in Wilmington. It was close as shit.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the problem.
Oddity Bar?
Oddity Bar I would have done, but...
You didn't. I was there twice.
I was working.
Uh-uh.
Caregiving?
Uh-uh. It was before caregiving, mother trucker.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then I literally missed it then.
You just said, I'm not going to go see that fucking shit.
Bullshit.
Man. Fuck that guy.
Oh, my God.
No, it's cool. I can't believe we got to see a video. We should replay it.
Oh, God. Here we go. Just hit, go to the side and you'll see the replay, right? Yeah, the replay button. Here we go again.
Dude, you click on it and it's a silent photo. It's a four shot of the foursome, the band. Then it goes to Robot Phillips. On stage, holding that microphone up like crazy talk. Then it goes to Corey, the guitar player. Yeah.
There's no way that's ever going to happen.
Pete wasn't cool. I didn't like Pete at all.
I loved Pete.
He was mean to us. And then Steve, I run into Steve 1,000 years later, ironically enough, at the same Tower Records where he picked you up back in the day.
Yeah.
For that audition.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you need a drummer, dude? And I was like, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is so good!
And this podcast brought to you by High Caliber.
Deep Threat. Is Deep Threat even on the fucking record?
Yes, Deep Threat.
So,
What
was your set? How many tunes did you guys have back then?
We had five, I think. No, wait. No, we had three. That was it.
You didn't play Textiles with three fucking songs. When you played a set, you had to have like 10.
There was no fucking 10. We had three songs. That was it.
How do you tour with three songs?
Because they would only give us like so many minutes. I mean, I remember.
We
didn't do a 100-song set. We did, I think, there was three or four songs we had. We had Deep Threat. I can't even remember all the songs.
I hear all of them.
There wasn't many. There was like four or five. I don't remember.
No, man.
It was a blur.
No, it is. Time does that. You know, you have like a family and stuff now. But how amazing is it? You're on YouTube and you're young. Oh my God.
I know,
you're
immortalized.
So young and vibrant.
Until Steve finds out that we've been doing this and then he just pulls everything.
Steve, it's fucking awesome. Post more, motherfucker.
Yes, post more.
I'm going to steal this and put it on my channel. You're going to pull Starscream and be like, what the fuck is this? This isn't fucking Starscream. I'm fucking. Vex has hair. Vex never had hair.
What the fuck? And he used like 10 bottles of hair straightener.
I did used to blow dry the fuck out of my
hair.
Every day.
You were so mad about
it. I had Afro puff hair. It was so bad, man. And I'd be like, you grew this long, beautiful mane of hair.
yell at my mom.
Would become an afro when I grew it.
I know.
It.
Yell at
like
my
I
mom.
Look like
I
Neil
had my mom's
Sean
hair.
From fucking Journey. It wasn't happening, man.
I had my mom's hair. Just.
I can't.
Yeah, I love doing this, but I mean, you know what? If I didn't have the fucking cunt, then it would have never been. There would have been no issue. I would have probably. We would have probably been doing this still.
We would have been.
There was that cunt that I was with, and I'll keep saying it. She was
amazing.
A cunt.
I hope she hears
a
it.
Cunt.
I'm writing about all these psychotic ex-girlfriends in my book.
You gotta add like mine.
Well,
no, it's all about you.
No, it's not. It's so not. And I was thinking in my head, I was like. This is, like, the only mention for immortality that any of us have from our youth. Like, nobody wrote a book.
No.
Anything. Like, High Caliber is a forgotten thing. Not after my book.
Oh, Jesus
And
Christ.
No, but the cool part is, I didn't know that it's my fault you were on the textile show. I invited you because you were my friend, and then you were like, fuck you, Vex. And in the book, I got to put that in because I was like, somehow they fucking showed up. We go to the Tabalo, they're like, how the fuck is Bob here? Like, what is happening? Robot is fucking performing. This is amazing. Why are they
amazing.
Here?
This is amazing.
Why did they bring my ex-girlfriend? You don't even know this. Listen to this shit. So at the fucking show, at that show.
Yes.
Oh, Steve Cambion backdoored me, man. I had this girlfriend, Nicole.
Okay.
My serious girlfriend. Fucking loved her. You might remember her, actually. Beautiful brunette, long hair. I dated her for like 3 fucking years. Mm-hmm. Went to college with her and shit. Briefly. Because I didn't go to college long. But she graduated. Yeah. She was my long-term girlfriend. But I'm in a fucking band. So I had a side John named this girl named Alexandra. Alex? Mm-hmm. I fucking loved Alex. She was fucking beautiful. I go to the textile show. Alex comes to support me, right?
Yeah.
Steve Cambion made sure my fucking girlfriend got on the bus and came to see me.
Oh, shit.
So there I am, standing with my girlfriend and, I'm sorry, my side piece. And my girlfriend walked the fuck in. And I was like, oh, this is bad. Oh, this is bad. So, not only am I getting yelled at by my fucking girlfriend in front of all these people, who looked great, by the way, my side piece is, like, sitting there crying, going, this is girlfriend.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, man. That was a weird day for me. And then you guys are mad at me, and then you guys brought my fucking ex-girlfriend. What the fuck, man?
I didn't plan that.
Oh, come on.
I didn't plan that. I
Did
swear
you
to
know
fucking Christ.
The morning of that show, somebody smashed my windshield of that show. I felt like it was
it
Anna.
It was not me. I,
like
I was, swear to fucking Christ,
felt,
it was
well,
not
I didn't
me.
Think it was you.
Yeah.
I felt like it was Anna. I felt like she smashed my windshield. Morning of that show. Small world, right?
Yeah, very small world.
But in the book, like, so I don't, like, it's so weird talking about this shit.
Yeah.
Because I didn't recall that we had got you on that fucking show.
Yeah, no, you and Steve called me and wanted me on the show and
we
said,
did, though.
Okay. And I did it. I said, yeah, let me call, you know, and then you were like, call me back. And then I called you guys back and then there, boom. It was,
and
it was
infamy,
on.
And it was the battle
of the bands.
There was a band on there called Trip 66. You remember them?
No, not at all.
Fucking sexy little fucking blonde chick with big boobers. She was a hippie chick. They were like a hippie band.
Yeah.
They were signed for like 5 minutes. Nothing ever happened. For real, they were. Just all this fucking chaotic shit in my brain. So I'm writing this book, man, and it's fucking nuts. Like, I'll sit down and I'll write a couple of chapters about the 80s,
yeah,
or the 70s, mm-hmm, or the 90s or something, and I'll go to bed and I'll just dream vibrant, fucked up things, like crazy things that you can't even imagine because you opened up all this like portal shit in your mind.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You write a book. It's very cathartic.
I don't know if I could do that.
I don't know. It's interesting. Like, think about all the things that you went through.
Yeah.
And, like, we were off mic. We went to dinner and stuff. And, like, think about, like, all that stuff we were talking about in the car. Like, that happened in your life. Like, trials,
yeah,
and tribulations.
Yeah.
Write it the fuck out, man.
Just
I don't
get
know
it right out. Yeah, no. That was the whole thing. You know, this was the funny thing, too.
What?
Like, being in that band kind of taught me a lot of things. Like, especially, the, you know, the cunt. We
the cunts.
Yes.
The cunt.
But yeah, it was true. If I didn't have her in the time, that I think High Caliber would have been doing still.
And I got to tell you the truth of it.
Well,
wouldn't Smart Money not get a girlfriend and just fuck them all? Like, there's this great movie. Ever see this movie, fucking Colors?
Colors, no.
It's a gang movie.
Okay.
Set in L.A. Sean Penn's in it. Robert Duvall's in it. Ice-T does the soundtrack. Colors.
Oh, all right.
Colors. Colors. There's a fucking anecdote in the movie that I try to live by. There's two bulls that are on top of a fucking mountain. And in the valley, there's a fuck ton of cows. The son says to the father bull, hey, dad, let's run down there and, you know, fuck us some cows. Dad's like, no, son, let's walk down and fuck them all. Ooh. And it's like this poignant thing. You know what I mean? So if you're in a band, why would you limit yourself to one broad? You were a kid. You were 19, 20 years old. Fuck them all.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why did the cunt happen? Like, how did you think that worked out?
It didn't work out.
No, but I mean, like...
She was fucking everybody else, I found out, from Steve and you. But you don't remember.
I didn't tell you that, man.
No, Steve told me. He's like, we didn't want to tell you because I would have been like, you know, I would have, you know, like what any boyfriend would... Oh, fuck you. You're just trying to get me broken up, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
That kind of bullshit.
Steve was a negative influence sometimes, though.
Yeah, I know he was. Who wasn't?
Yeah, I was definitely a negative influence. So, you, one night, you might remember this. The place, I wrote about this in the book very recently, and now I live in that neighborhood. Dude, I live in Somerton. Somerton was that fucking neighborhood that we would take the bus to and nobody had a car and hang out with all those fucking chicks. You remember that?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There was a girl named Jen. There was a girl named Laura. You had a girlfriend. Who was that fucking girl? What was her name?
I can't remember.
Fuck, I know.
Abby or something?
Was it Abby?
Yeah, I don't know.
Beautiful girl.
Yeah.
But we fucking used to take the buses up there and hang out at their house. I live in that fucking neighborhood now.
Holy
like,
shit.
Isn't that weird? Like,
that is weird.
I live in the rich people neighborhood, which melts my face. Yeah. But anyway, the point is, to my story, is that we used to travel there on the bus. And we'd meet these young ladies, and we would hang out with them. And one night, I eventually got a car. I graduated high school, and I got a car. We were all in my car. And I remember I had this bad habit of, I'd have like 14 people in my back seat, and like three or four across my front seat. I had a big fucking Impala, like an old car, a lot of space.
Oh, yeah.
And I was obsessed with reading things backwards, because I was always looking for a band name and wherever I could find it.
I remember that.
So we're in the car, and I'm like... Nick Nud, as we passed Dunkin' Donuts. And I think you were a little drunk, and you're like, I'm not a fucking Nick Nud. Fuck you, man. And I was like, but I didn't call you a Nick Nud, sir. Nick, no, fuck you. You know, be an asshole in front of the girls to call me Nick Nud, man. And I was just, I don't even know what that means.
Nick
I always have to ask you, what did you think Nick Nud meant?
I don't remember.
It's a great fucking
name. Oh, my God. These are the days that I always, like, you know, when I find them out, like, especially just you telling me that now, I'm like, oh, my God.
Good times, though.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, how many times? Yo, dude, let's just go to the girl's house because I'm hungry.
Oh, my God. I did that.
We used to make the mother cook for us.
I remember her. Okay. Oh, my. So that girl's name was Lisa. Mm-hmm. Same fucking neighborhood again. Wealthy fucking neighborhood. We'd take the bus. Oh my God. Okay. We'd get in my fucking piece of shit car. Now this Lisa girl is someone I dated 6 months before. Yeah. Like I wasn't still fucking this chick. You know what I mean?
No.
She's someone I knew. Her mom was married to this really old businessman. Now he might not have been that old, but he looked 1,000 years old, like the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, yeah.
He had white hair and he was kind of pudgy. He had a beautiful fucking Mercedes. They had an indoor fucking pool. Do you remember the pool?
Yep.
They had their own hot tub. Like, I was amazed by this shit. I grew up in a row home in Philadelphia. I was like, oh, you have an indoor pool? And we would just go there. Us, all of my loser friends and myself. We're all losers.
Yeah.
And the mother would just feed us. Like, if we were hungry, she would fucking make us steaks.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck we wanted.
Anything.
And we'd be like, oh, is Lisa going to come home soon? Because Lisa's out with some new guy.
Yeah.
And we'd be in her fucking house, swimming in her fucking pool, eating her food.
Exactly.
How the fuck did that happen?
I don't know.
How did that get pulled off?
We were just good at it.
And then, like, I love it. Earlier, like, I guess two podcasts ago, you were like, yeah, man, I didn't have a job. I just kind of lived off what groupies would give me. You know?
Yeah, there we go.
That's what we fucking did, man.
Yeah, we did that.
I remember that shit.
That was what we did.
Money, food, clothing. Women were fucking nice to us, and we were so dumb.
Yeah.
Fuck, we're bad people.
We're just evil.
I learned all this shit watching Motley Crue Uncensored as a little kid way too many times. So that kid, James, that we're not going to say the last name.
Yeah.
Starts with an S.
Yes.
Who lived like down the street from me.
Yeah.
He was into Motley Crue, and he was a year older than me. He was your age.
Yeah.
And he loved Motley Crue. And his grandparents were really nice people, and they would do whatever he asked. And he asked for Motley Crue and Uncensored when he was like 11 or 12 years old for Christmas. So that makes me like 10 or 11. And we go over to watch Motley Crue Uncensored, and there's just fucking titties.
Everywhere.
And I was like,
everywhere.
And I'm looking around at the parents, and they're not freaking out. I'm like, this is amazing. I want to be a band. I've never seen it in my life. You know?
Yeah.
And so that summer, I go to Illinois, where my father was from, and I'm with his family. I'd go for like, I don't know, 6 weeks every summer, which was nice. There was cornfields and horses and shit.
Yeah.
And there was like not a local wall-to-wall sounding video, but some shitty video store.
Yeah.
That you could ride to on a bicycle.
Okay.
And I scraped my money together. And motherfucker, they had a used copy of Motley Crue Uncensored. And because it was used, you'd have to be 18 to buy it. And it was like $6, yeah. Which is a lot of money when you're 11 or something. Yeah. I give them the $6. I come home. No one's home. Everybody's at work. So I put in the fucking Motley Crue. And every morning that entire summer, I watched Motley Crue Uncensored, which is probably the worst thing you can do to corrupt a child. Like, Motley Crue became my favorite band immediately. The first cassette tape I ever bought with my own money was Motley Crue Girls, Girls, Girls. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
I love that record.
I remember.
And, yeah, I grew up and I got in The Broken and you got in High Caliber.
Yeah.
And we lived off groupies. Literally. We were the scum of the earth. I forgot all about going to Lisa's mom's house and making her feed us.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock in the morning, we're like, hey, is Lisa here? And she's like, no. I'm like, can we come in and wait? And she's like, sure, Bex, come on in with your friends.
We're hungry.
And they would just make us fucking food. We'd swim in their indoor pool. Oh, my God.
The pool's warm if you want to go in it.
In the hot tub. What the fuck? And I was achieving this at 17 years old. I was like, I'm living life. This is it. I win.
This is heaven.
I'm a winner.
Welcome, world. We are so bad.
No, I don't know, man. Were we? Were we that bad?
Nah, there was worse.
Had a lot of fucking fun.
At least we weren't the ones that were fucking walking in and shooting people.
Wow, that's a big downer for the Vex on Vex podcast. Vex on Vex would like
the
listening public to know they do not support Robots Phillips' opinions about weaponry or anything else for that matter. They are solely his opinions.
Yes.
So we got to record a bunch of episodes. This shit's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is great.
The first three are going to be up. Like, so what's going to happen is Podbean is going to be the network that's going to carry this.
Okay, sweet.
It's the same network. Under Loud and Loaded, it's a banner. That's the channel. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen it. And we are the Vex on Vex podcast. I don't know, man. Do you want to make a habit out of it? Like, you want to be the co-host?
Hell
like,
yeah. If you want me,
we can have some fucking fun. And, like, we can get guests occasionally. And on the TV Dads Wrestling podcast, which is kind of blowing up a little bit, the management was trying to book us guests. Like, legitimate guests.
Wow.
Like, for Skyping in and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? It's not going to work. You know what I mean? Like, we're a fucking fictional comedy show. So, technically, down the road, you and I could entertain, like, you know, weird porn stars and fucking whoever else is calling in. So, this could expand to be something.
Yeah, it could.
Are you opposed to driving to Philadelphia occasionally for something?
No, I'll drive to Philly.
Your son will freak out if he finds out. Like, what are you going to Philly for?
Yeah.
You never saw my house. I'd like you to see where I live. It'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Because I've been there. It's going to be 5 years soon.
Holy shit.
So I guess that's the submission. Do you want to wrap up anything with the listening public?
No.
So to take it back to the beginning, I always like to round them about. Yes. You have a fantastic, phenomenal toy collection.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You were a part of High Caliber, which now that we've watched the video, and I'm telling everyone to go to YouTube and watch that fucking thing.
Watch it. Thumbs up.
Fucking High Caliber Deep Threat.
Yeah.
It'll pop up. The band was tight as fuck, man.
Yeah, you
guys were good.
The thing was, we did three songs, okay? Real quick before we end this.
Yeah, yeah.
We did three songs, and we practiced them until our throat was raw, until our fingers were bleeding, until, you know.
There is no fucking way you only performed three songs with all these shows.
There must have been another one or two. I can't remember them.
Did you have a cover?
No, we had no covers. We did no covers. We did Metallica for a freaking... So we did Enter Sandman for the sound check. That was it.
I remember that.
I don't remember any other ones. There might be other ones that I just, you know, that we... That got buried, but, I mean,
Here's a question I have for you. And I'm curious at this. I wanted to ask you this in 1994.
Yeah.
It was a very dated look for the band. It was uniform, and it was striking, but it looked like 1989 metal.
Yeah.
And this was 4 or 5 years after the fact. Why did you choose that, or where did that come from?
It just came. It was just, that's how, just, it just molded itself. There was no, you know, this is what we're wearing, like, all of us.
That's not true, because that's what you said on the first one.
Well, no. The rules were no band shirts. That was it. He said, I don't care what you wear, no band shirts. But we just all wore the same thing.
Everybody had light blue jeans.
Yeah, light blue jeans or black. There was days that I wore black jeans.
No, there wasn't.
Yes, there was.
You're a fibber.
Oh, you're a fibber. Fuck, I'm not.
You know, the whole time I was in the Broken, I wore black jeans and black shirts on stage. So I was trying to be Jim Morrison.
Like, yeah, I remember you. And you now, had that Jim Morrison.
If you look, it's 2018. I'm still wearing fucking black jeans and black fucking shirts on stage. Like, well, yeah. I've come nothing. I've done nothing. I wear fantastic makeup now and sparkly shit though. No, I didn't used to do that.
And you got that cool ass hat every time you.
Oh,
wear
you
it.
Like
yeah,
the hat?
Yeah, I love that hat.
It's a Russian general hat.
No shit. Yeah, that's pretty badass.
And then I went to a gun show with that guy Brandon, who was the original photographer.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
Broken.
Yeah.
And he's a gun collector. I am not. And I bought myself a World War II fucking hat, and I hated it. I liked my fucking the Russian one so much better.
Wow.
And I have a real one.
Well, it works on you. It works very, very nicely.
Oh, see, he's all being nice to me.
I'm always nice.
So you guys got to go check out. I'm serious. Go to fucking YouTube. Pull up High Caliber. Deep Threat.
Yeah.
It's an awesome video. The
it
photo,
is.
It's nostalgic. It's rock and roll. My man Robot's fucking killing it. Dude, thank you so much for fucking hanging out.
Yep, thank you so much.
So, thank you for listening. Again, we're on the Podbean Network. This is the Vex on Vex podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are signing out. And this is Vex S telling you to stay frosty.